Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John chapter 11. Isn't that great? Kids, praise God. Fantastic. Great answers. But we are going to find out that there is something even better than life after death. And we're going to find it in the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 11. As always, we encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. And what you hear today is very, very good news if you believe. If you believe. Our text for this morning is going to be John 11, 25, and 26. And the title of the message this morning, Better Than Life After Death. John 11, verse 25. And by the way, I'll say this to those of you who are sticklers for context. That's a very good thing that you're a stickler. But the context here is massive, and we're not going to cover all the context, so don't run up to me and say, you missed this in the context. We're really going to focus on this saying of Christ, and it begins at verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am, right, Nate? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that is the key question. That is the application. Let's just start with application. The application of what you hear this morning is, do you believe this? And that means, do you believe Jesus and what he's telling you here? And do you believe in Jesus who is the resurrection and the life? You should believe it. Because the one speaking here is Jesus. Verse 25, Jesus. Let's start there. His name means Jehovah saves. You might think of it as J-E, Jehovah, that is God. Right? Jehovah is the Old Testament name for God. You'll see it in your Bible thousands of times. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, in all caps, is Yahweh or Jehovah. That is the name for God. His name is Jesus. Jehovah saves, S-U-S. Saves. That's a fitting name for Jesus because he is Jehovah, contrary to the Jehovah's Witnesses who are liars and false teachers. Jesus is Jehovah and he saves. Whom does he save? Well, according to these verses, not everyone. Jesus saves only those who believe in him. And from what does he save them? There are many answers to that question in Scripture. But from these verses, the answer is from death. Jesus saves from death. This is the great confidence of all believers in Jesus Christ. And it is the great comfort for all of us who have lost loved ones. How many of you over the years have lost people who were dear and precious to you? Pretty much all of us, right? Maybe you lost mom or dad or a brother or sister or a son or daughter. Or your wife, or your husband, or a close friend. I want to encourage you this morning, these words of Jesus Christ are spoken to Martha, whose brother Lazarus had just died. Take a look, verse 25, Jesus said to her. That is a reference to Martha, and without giving all the details of the context, let me just sum it up for you. Martha had a sister named Mary. You might remember Mary and Martha from that, I think it's Luke 10, the Martha incident, you know what I'm talking about? Martha incident, yes. Hospitality gone awry, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, Martha was doing all the work, and she comes and rebukes Jesus and says, what about the fact that I'm doing all the work, and here's Mary? And Jesus says, Martha. Well, we should not remember her so much for that. We should remember her for what she says here, which we'll get to. Jesus is seeking to comfort Martha. You might recall, Lazarus became sick. They sent for Jesus. Jesus did not get back to Bethany before Lazarus died. And days later, Jesus came, and when Martha heard that Jesus was on the way, look at what she says in verse 21. John 11, 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's a certain degree of faith, or it's a certain expression of faith. I know that if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Why would she say that? Because she knows that Jesus Christ can heal. And then she says in verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Could mean that she believes that Jesus could raise him from the dead. I think we'll see that it's not that. I think it means, but I haven't lost faith in you. If you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died, but I haven't lost faith in you. I still know that you can do whatever you ask of God. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. That sounds good, doesn't it? Sort of comforting. But the question is, when? Now notice what Martha says in verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. If you didn't know, this was the teaching of the Pharisees and the belief of many Jews that if your loved one died, then sadly, your loved one was dead. But in the resurrection at the last day, there was hope. Jesus, in sharp contrast to the teaching of the Pharisees, and in sharp contrast to the faith of Martha and the faith of many Jews, says, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I want you to notice two things here. They're right from the verse. And they make up the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ from one standpoint. Number one, I want you to notice what Jesus says about himself. What Jesus says about himself. And then I want you to notice what Jesus says about everyone who believes in him. And what you're going to see is it's even better than life after death. Notice first what Jesus says about himself. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And brother Nate, where are you, Nate? Raise your hand. Nate, where are you? Yeah, you were absolutely correct to emphasize I, because in the Greek, it is emphasized. In the Greek, it's I myself, or I and I alone. I and no other. Jesus is, in fact, the only way to the resurrection of life. All religions are not the same, contrary to what Kelly has heard in her comparative religions class. What a waste of a class, right? That's what they're teaching in colleges and schools these days. All religions are the same. All roads lead to heaven. That is a lie from the devil. Don't believe it, and don't let that stand, right? I thank God for Bruce, and when you first started going to PCC to teach, I'm like, maybe the Lord's going to open up opportunities for the gospel, and he has, hasn't he? Jesus says, I and I alone, I myself, next word is not unimportant, am, as in right now. Present tense verb. I myself am at the present time, right now, not at some last day in the distant future. I am the resurrection and the life. Well, what does that mean? It's like, I am the fan. Ooh. And there's been signs around in elementary schools which kind of make you go, it says, be the change. Like, what does that mean, be the change? Well, you know, it kind of means, hey, you're wanting to see some change. Why don't you be the change that you're wanting to see? Okay, there's probably a message there. This is a little bit like that, and here's what it means. It means everything about the resurrection and the life depends entirely on Jesus Christ. But let's think through that. Let's flesh that out a little bit. For example, who even planned that there would be a resurrection from the dead for sinners and a life in the eternal kingdom? I mean, whose idea was this? Christ's. So write it down. Jesus is the planner of the resurrection and the life. In eternity past, Jesus Christ, God's Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, decreed, determined that there would be a resurrection and an eternal life. How about this? Who promised, both in the Old and the New Testaments, that there would be a resurrection from the dead and an eternal kingdom? Jesus. Jesus is not only the planner of the resurrection and the life, he's the promise of the resurrection and the life. He's the one who promised it, and he's the promise that it will come to pass. Who provides a resurrection? Who provides eternal life? What's the answer? Jesus Christ. Right? It's the Sunday school answer. We're on a theme here. It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the provider of the resurrection of life. Remember his words to the woman at the well? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He would have given you eternal life. Life that never ends. That's living water. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus is the planner, the promise, the provider. By whose power could someone raise from the dead? I mean, how many volts would that take? You ever think about that? How many volts would it take to raise someone from the dead? Well, you could take all the power generated by Xcel Energy and Black Hills and everyone else out there. That's not enough power to raise someone from the dead. Only in Christ is there power for any sinner to raise from the dead. Jesus is the power for the resurrection and the life. That's what this means. It means everything about the resurrection and the life depends on Jesus Christ. He's the planner, the promise, the provider, the power. And we could add more. He's the promoter. He's the one that preaches it. He's the whole point of a resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is for people to live with him, as the children said. But none of those are most important here. He is the path to the resurrection and the life, and he is the only path. As Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. If somebody says all religions are the same, you can take them to John 14:6. No, they're not. Not according to Jesus Christ. He alone is the path to the Father. He alone is the path to eternal life. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that someone rises from the dead into a good life, as was said by the children. To believe in Jesus Christ is the only way that anyone enters into heaven. And to believe in Jesus Christ is first to believe Jesus Christ. That is to believe that what he says is true, that what he commands is right, that what he promises will surely come to pass. But it is also to trust completely in him. And here, the key is that Jesus is the path to the resurrection and the life. This leads us to point two. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So point two, notice what Jesus is saying here about whoever believes in him. Verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, whose brother Lazarus had just died, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, what does it mean, though he may die? Well, there were to Noah's answer, right? What did Noah say? Well, yes and no. Well, that's correct. Because if you have a loved one who's passed away, it is not improper to say, yes, my father died. Yeah, my father died last year. My father did die last year. That is accurate. Okay, and we speak that way. That's normal. And when Jesus says, though he may die, he means, though he may depart from this life. And how do we say that in this life? We say, oh, he died. She died. That's what he means. Yes, whoever believes in me, though he may die, though he may depart from this life, like Lazarus did, nevertheless, he shall continue to live. That's what it means, he shall live. He shall continue to live. And the big question is, but when? In the resurrection at the last day? Is that the truth? Should we believe like Martha that, well, although my loved one died, he's now dead, but there's hope. Way, way in the distant future, in the final day. Is that the hope of Christians? Absolutely not. Verse 26. And, that's a key word. Jesus here is not, contrary to many commentators, he is not identifying a separate class of believers. I don't even know where they come up with that. You don't get it from the context, I'll tell you that. Jesus is not identifying a separate class of believers. One of the commentaries I read said, well, there must be two classes of believers, and the second class never dies. And he says, it must be at the rapture. No. Both lines have to do with anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus says, verse 26. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I love apparent contradictions. This is about as apparent as it gets. He just said, though he may die, he will live. And now he says, he'll never die. What does that mean? That means never die, really. right? Though he may die in the sense of being separated away from this life, he'll never die really. And in fact, some translations have this. It is in the Greek. He'll never die forever. He doesn't really die. He's not separated away from the source of life. Let me put it to you another way. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that ring a bell? So let's look at a couple of other verses. Look at John 3:16. Go back to John 3. You don't even have to look at it, I know, but go back and look. Let's go to 15. No, 14. 3:14. Remember, Jesus here in this context is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Why? "So that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Why? "So that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the gospel, that the believer in Jesus Christ never perishes. That means never dies. Not convinced? Look over at John 3:36. "He who believes the Son," this is John the Baptist talking to his disciples, "he who believes in the Son," what? "Has everlasting life," as in right now, as a present possession. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. We'll come back to that verse the second half later. Turn over to John 5:24. John 5:24. This is an incredible verse. If you carry one of those little Derringer pocket Bibles, little Gideon Bible, this is in the back of every little Gideon Bible, I think even the big ones. It's such a magnificent promise. It's hard to believe. John 5:24. "Most assuredly I say to you," which is like saying, you've got to believe this. I'm telling you the truth. Truly, truly. It's absolutely true. "He who hears my word and believes," it really says him who sent me, who believes God. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life," as a present possession, "and shall not come into judgment, and has," as in already, "has passed from death into life." Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ right now, this morning, here and now, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? If you are, you have already passed out of death and into life, and you are not going to pass back from life into death. This is the good news. Turn to John chapter 8 and verse 51. John 8:51, here Jesus is teaching Jews who do not believe in him. Although they had professed faith, it became very clear they do not believe. And notice what Jesus says to them, John 8:51. "Most assuredly I say to you," once again, Jesus is making this emphatic because it's so hard to believe. He understands that. "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Wow, so are you getting what is better than life after death? It is life without death. That's better than life after death. It'd be life where you wouldn't even have to fear death because you already have eternal life and you've already passed from death into life and you're never going to die, even though you may die. Yeah, you may pass from this life, but you're not going to be separated from him who is the source of eternal life. Of course, these Jews, not like, notice what they say, verse 52. The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon." That is a bad response to the gospel. Okay, if you didn't know, it's a really bad response to the gospel. "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead." Stop. Is that true? It's absolutely not true. Luke 16 is not a parable. Brother, I know you preach from Luke 16, Brother Nate. When Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham and the rich man looks up and he can see Abraham, that's not a parable. Abraham is not dead. God is the God of Abraham and he's not the God of the dead but of the living. These guys are way off. And then they say, "And the prophets are dead." Are the prophets dead? No. Mount of Transfiguration. Who shows up? Moses and Elijah. Matthew chapter 17. Luke 16, Abraham's not dead. Matthew 17, the prophets are not dead. But they think they are. "We know you have a demon. Abraham's dead. The prophets are dead. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than Abraham, who is dead?" Yes. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And everyone who believes in him, though he may die, he shall continue to live and Whoever believes in him will never die. Never. The one thing better than life after death is life without death. That's called immortality. It's called immortality. And Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 10. Christ brought immortality to light through the gospel. This is great comfort for you who have lost loved ones. And listen to me, listen. This is great comfort for you who have lost loved ones, even if you are not sure of what their spiritual state was. You know why? You think the mother of the thief on the cross was thinking that he was going to paradise that day? No. And maybe she never knew. And the truth is, you don't know. Right? Let's just rest that. You don't know. And so I have good news for you. Trust in Jesus Christ. Because he's the resurrection and life. He is sovereign. He is the source of resurrection and life. He is sovereign over it. He's the spring of it. He knows who he'll raise from the dead to eternal life, and you can let that rest in his hands. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It means even when it comes to losing your loved one and you don't know what their spiritual state was, you do not need to worry at all. You can take great courage and say, you know what? I have no concerns because the soul of my loved one is in the hands of Jesus Christ, and he's the resurrection and life, and I have no doubts about him. You are not going to be disappointed when you get to heaven. I'm not a universalist. I don't believe everyone goes to heaven. There are people who go to an eternal hell because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But I also know you do not know who at the end of life turns to Christ and who doesn't. Just trust that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And by the way, those who have left us would not come back here for all the tea in China or all the gold in Fort Knox. You know why? Because to depart and be with the Lord is way more better. Paul says, which to choose I cannot tell you. Means I don't know which I would choose if I got the choice. Because I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is literally way more better. Philippians 1, 22 and 23. Beloved, this is the good news. And you who have lost loved ones, take great comfort in the words of Jesus Christ. Those who have died in Christ are enjoying new life with Jesus Christ, and those about whom we are not sure, we can just trust Christ with their eternal soul. What is the application? Do you believe this? End of verse 26. That's a serious question. Do you believe this? Martha did. She simply says in verse 27, yes, Lord. Well, we should stop right there. That means, yes, Lord, I believe this. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You know what that meant for them? It means I believe that you are the one that Moses promised to us in Deuteronomy 18, who would come and tell us all things and that we have to listen to or else. So she believes them. That's good news. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, this is good news for you. You can rejoice in your salvation, which is not only secured, but you already have it. And the only thing now is to work out your own salvation, Philippians chapter 2, right? Work out what to do with this eternal life that you have been given, because you have nothing to lose. You are not going to die, even though you may die. This is good news, beloved. But what if you don't believe? What if you're here this morning and you don't believe? Let me give you four reasons to believe. Number one, the words. These are the words of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate authority on heavenly things. Not your professor at school, or your professor at college, or even your mom or dad. Jesus Christ is the ultimate authority. No one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man, who has come down from heaven and who is still in heaven. He's the ultimate authority on heavenly things. Number two, why should you believe if you don't? It's written. These words have been written down and preserved by the Spirit of God for you to hear. It's written in a holy book, the Holy Scriptures. If you reject this, you're rejecting Jesus Christ and all the Bible. Number three, because of witnesses. There have been countless millions of witnesses around the world who testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there is life after death. The apostles are witnesses. Everyone sitting around you here today, if you're here as an unbeliever, the vast majority of everyone sitting around you in this place will testify to how Jesus Christ has given them new eternal life. And if you deny these words, you are calling Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and all these witnesses liars. And fourth reason why you should believe today is wrath. Back to John 3:36, it says, he who has the Son has eternal life. But if you don't obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on you. And what it means to obey the Son is to repent of your unbelief and believe. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, if you're here today as an unbeliever, I call upon you to believe in Jesus Christ and begin by believing these words. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he will continue to live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Believe it. If you're here as an unbeliever, today is the day to repent of your unbelief. You simply call upon the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. It's so sweet to know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And by his resurrection and by your promise in the gospel, we who believe in him are assured that we will never truly die. We thank you for that, Father. Help us to live like it. Beginning today, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.